Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Thank you for joining us this morning for another Sunday service. I know that many of us are suffering at this point in this pandemic, whether it be emotionally, physically, or financially. But I would encourage you today to rejoice in the God of your salvation. And I know you may not feel like it, but sometimes rejoicing isn't an emotion, but it's a decision based on the will. So I would tell you today and encourage you today to rejoice in the Lord. And as you focus on Christ, as you seek the kingdom first, the things of this earth, the troubles of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you and rejoice, Lord God, to make that decision. I pray that you would fill our hearts and minds with your glory. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And may we give you all the honor and glory in this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. So glad. He has made me glad. I will enter his courts with praise, and I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Glory, glory,
glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my words down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid
within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And it began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Praise the Lord, for he is the Lamb that is slain since the foundations of the earth, and he has ransomed us by his blood. He is our Lord, our Savior, and our God." So we worship him today. Join us in this next song.
Thank you. Faith be more than anthems.
We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe that He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe that He's coming back again.
God bless you today. Again, this is Pastor Bert Lloyd from Bread of Life Church in Booneville, New York. And we're praying again for all that are looking for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to bring them through the situations that we're facing in this day until the day that He returns. So I would like to open a word of prayer. So let's come before the Lord. And dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to You boldly this day, knowing that the throne room of Your grace is open, Lord God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we might enter in, Lord God, to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And so we bring our needs and petitions before You this day, Lord God, knowing that You are touched with the feeling of our infirmity, and before we even speak, You know what is in our hearts. And so we lay that before You this day, Lord God, to touch each and every person at the point of their need with the prayer that they're raising up to before You, Lord God. We invite the Holy Spirit to have total reign in this message today and in the lives and hearts of all the people that are watching. Open my heart, Lord God, to speak as You would have me speak. And I would give You all glory in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. I am filled with excitement today. I'm anticipating because the word that I'm bringing has to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm excited about the truth of His return to the earth to take us to Himself and then to set up His kingdom. But I'd like to look at 4 points and try and put these points into the thoughts that are going on in my heart. First, we need to understand, what is the second coming and why should we be considering it and who is involved in it? And secondly, how do we know that we are ready and what do we do to prepare for that? Thirdly, the anticipation or the attitude of that anticipation of your second coming. What is entailed in that thought? And fourthly, to occupy as we wait with expectation. What should we do in service and sanctification in our hearts and lives? Now, some thoughts on the second coming running through my mind, and as we have seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I preached on that boldly and quite often because it is the basis, again, of our understanding and foundational faith in Jesus Christ. Because He rose from the dead, we can have faith that He will do all things right and all things proper. And we can depend on the One who rose from the dead to fulfill His promise that He will return again. He promised that, to return again and to take us to Himself, and that we would be with Him and He would set all things right here in this earth and in the future to come. So looking at the first point, understanding what is the second coming and why we should consider that. Jesus said in John 14, beginning in verse 2, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So Jesus left the earth to go to a place and prepare that place for the saints to go there to be with Him. Jesus left the earth so that He might be constructing, as it were, a place for us to be in fellowship with Him forever and ever. So there is a separation physically from Jesus for a time in the fact that He went to prepare this place. And Jesus said that I will come again and receive you to Myself. So this shows that He left, and that also that He will return. So the purpose of his return will be to take believers with him. He will take them back to the place that he has prepared for them. We want to get that very clear, that God has gone, Jesus has gone to prepare that place, and he's going to come and get us and take us to that place. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, Jesus, while they beheld him," now imagine this, "he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two angels stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as we have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." The Mount of Olivet is very important as we think about his return. So looking at this scripture, he was taken up physically. It wasn't some kind of a spiritual vision that they had. He was physically taken up. And it said a cloud, or it was a cloud of glory, or whatever the clouds were like, Jesus, they received him. It said they received him. I've often thought much like Elijah had gone up into the clouds when a glory cloud came down, and he rose up in chariots of fire. And so they watched him as he went up. So he must have gradually ascended up before them. And where did he go? It said he went into heaven. So, and when were he, as he comes, he said, he will come in the same way back to the Mount of Olivet. Well, what will that return look like? I'm excited about this. I've always loved the scripture in 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a verse, what a promise. Read that again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh my, what a promise. First, the Lord Jesus Christ will rise from his throne. Can you imagine that? His throne in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, the place where he intercedes for us on a regular daily basis. And he will descend from heaven in his return to the atmosphere above the earth. The Bible said he will give a shout or a command that will be heard throughout creation. The voice of Michael, the archangel, will respond in a chorus with all the angels of heaven, I'm sure. And the trumpet of God will call the assembly. Imagine what that's going to be like. And next, the bodies of every saint that had died knowing Jesus as Savior will be reunited with their souls transformed as they meet the Lord in the air. This is exciting. Then, in the next moment, that is you and me, will be caught up. We'll be caught up. Oh, the glory of that. What is it going to be like? A shaking, a tingling, a rushing mighty force? It says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as we are caught up into the clouds, soul, body, and spirit, to meet the Lord, the creator of the universe, our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We will meet him who died for our sins and rose again and lives forevermore. We will meet him in the air and go to the place that he has prepared for us in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says it like this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so all the church of our Lord Jesus Christ will be caught up with Jesus into heaven. There we will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, let's reason, return rather, to the present, and just think about this as we reason about the truths of what Christ has presented. A great expectation of being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So I propose this. Being that the Lord will come to take us to a place He has prepared for us in heaven, will that be the end of the story? What of the kingdom on earth? What of the thousand-year reign? What of the revealing of the Antichrist? Or what of Armageddon? Or the judgment of Satan, the beast, the false prophet? What of the great white throne judgment? And what of the new heaven and new earth? Well now, the rest of the story. Or at least part of it. For I intend to continue this next week, if the Lord tarries. Being that Christ will come with His saints, there must be a time when He comes for His saints. So back to the proposition. The Lord, having taken us to be with Him in heaven, will then return to the Mount of Olives, as the angel said in Acts 1:11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as we have seen Him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So Jesus will return to the Mount of Olivet. Once He is first He takes us up into the air, we go back to heaven, and then we return to the Mount of Olivet. So Jesus is returning with His saints to the Mount of Olivet. So in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Coming with all His saints, the Bible says. And again in Revelation 17:14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. We are the called and chosen of faithful who will return with the Lord. And in Jude 1:14, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. There is a coming for His saints and a coming returning with His saints. The Bible says Jesus will come with His saints. That being the case, the saints need to be with Jesus. Therefore, there is a time when He will come and take us to Himself. That is being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So the coming for His saints is the catching away into heaven, and the coming with His saints is the return when He comes back to remain on this earth. So, having said that, what is next? Well, what is next for you and for me is to be ready. Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Have you received Christ as your Savior so that He will receive you to Himself at His return? Listen to this story in Mark 13:33 through 37. It says, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. Jesus told us to watch. And that means to be like a man at his post, to be standing ready to guard all that he has. And we need to guard our lives against the onslaught of Satan and the world and our own flesh. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. He's coming, and it's imminent, meaning that it can happen at any moment. In the fact that there need be no prophecies that need to be fulfilled before He returns to call us to meet Him in the air, compared to the coming when He will put His feet on the Mount of Olivet, which has many prophecies yet to be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled in that second coming. Again, the third thing I think about is the attitude or the anticipation that we should have. Now, I want to be real serious with you folks today as I thought about this from my own self. Many Christians are saying, I just wish that Jesus would return and this would all be over, whatever that is. But what is the motivation for that kind of a statement? Are we hoping for this to end because we are fed up with the present state of our lives? Well, maybe you are, but that's not the Christian attitude. If in one breath you are saying that all things work together for good, for them that love God, for them that are the called according to His purpose, and you're saying, that's me, all things are working together for good for me, and then you say the verse, and Christ will never leave nor forsake me, are you believing that Christ is in you of a truth? Or again, many people say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you say that in one breath, but in the next breath, you're longing to be snatched away from a difficult situation. I believe you are missing the true hope of the second coming. It's like seed time and harvest. The farmer doesn't become so despondent after the rigors of plowing and sowing that he only looks for the harvest, and then he ceases to plant and water the crops or take care of the livestock. No, he's diligent in feeding and caring for the livestock, in preparing the ground with lime and fertilizer, insect deterrents, so that the crops will be ready for the harvest. So too, the Christian is not to be so distraught from the situations of this life and the world that he lays aside the most important aspect of this life here on earth, which is fellowship with Christ and Him and fulfilling the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. No. He is joyously serving in conjunction with the Holy Spirit in sowing the gospel into the hearts of all mankind to nurture and encourage the believers in this daily walk and in this life. The situations of today are an opportunity. I see this virus that has come upon us to be an opportunity for us to see the hand of God move. We can do loving acts of mercy. We can be in touch with the faithful to encourage them in the fellowship. We can help unbelievers in expressing to them the truth that God will bring us through this of a truth because we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in some generic God. We are trusting in our Savior because He needs to fulfill all His promises to us, and He will do that. The second coming of Jesus for His saints is to be a firm confidence that motivates rather than brings a desperate hope that leaves one longing for the bell to ring and for the fight to be over. No, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that more abundantly. So, are you living the abundant life even in your present situation as you are anticipating the return of Jesus Christ? We are called to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is what we are encouraged to do as we anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. If you've been laying around the house feeling hopeless and helpless, then change your thoughts. Look at Paul. Paul the Apostle wrote many of his epistles while he was locked up in prison. They call them the prison epistles. So for us, it should be the same, that we are trusting God no matter what situation we are in. Philippians 3:13, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that lie ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says in Philippians 4:11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul had learned to be content. I know both how to be abased, have nothing, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And you know the verse that he says right after this? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ will strengthen you in the difficult times. He will strengthen you in the good times. So trust in God. I mean, remember that wonderful old song that said, why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on this sparrow, and I know He watches me. Yes, His eye is on this sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Yes, we should not be discouraged. We should not be despondent. Jesus Christ is with us of a truth. We can rejoice in that, anticipating the coming of Christ. Fourthly and finally, the Bible has told us to occupy till He comes. As we wait with expectation, what should we do? Why, we should live in service. We should live a separate life of sanctification, the Bible calls that, separate from the world. In Acts 1:11 says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven?" This is the angels again. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." So not be gazing. Then they return to Jerusalem, and they return for a purpose. Our commission is not to stand and gaze all day at the sky waiting for Jesus. Our commission is to anticipate His coming, but to go. To return to the work of the ministry or whatever God has called you to do with your mind's eye on the return, but with your hand to the plow. You have not been left, you have been sent to go and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is with you in spirit. You are filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You are commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I've often imagined the descent of Christ for His saints. All who have been truly indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's almost like a light glowing. You remember E.T. when that call home. But that's almost what it's like. It's like a response when we hear the shout of the Lord's command to come up. And that, I just feel like the Holy Spirit within us will be like a magnet drawing us up. A magnet drawing us up to the very heavens and will draw us to the glory of the Lord our God. What a glorious day that will be. Bible said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." The Bible said that our bodies will be transformed and made like unto His glorious body. I anticipate that. I am occupying till He comes. I am looking forward to the time of Christ's return as I serve Him diligently on this earth and rejoice in Him. May God bless you this day. And the Spirit of Christ go with you throughout this time until the time we can all fellowship together in our churches and rejoice with that. We are still in fellowship through the union of the Holy Spirit. God bless you this day. I'd like to close in a word of prayer. Make an invitation that if you have not received Christ as your Savior, that you do that now because He is returning. Dear Lord, we come to You this day rejoicing in the God of our salvation, anticipating the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord God, as we look at the world around us and the things that are happening, we feel as though we are in the very birthing pains of Your soon return. And so, Lord God, with anticipation, we are looking to the heavens, not gazing, Lord God, but anticipating while we are doing the work of the Master, serving You, Lord God, in spirit and in truth. Bless each and every individual out there this day, Lord God. If there be someone, Lord God, that has not received You as the Lord and Savior, I pray that You would touch their hearts by the power of Your Holy Spirit this day, that they would be convicted of sin, that they have no ability to save themselves, that their sin will drag them to the depths of hell. But because You came and died on the cross of Calvary, because You shed Your blood for them and You paid for their sin, they receive You as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They will have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If there be anyone in this hearing or seeing audience this day that has not yet received Christ as their Savior, please do that now. I beseech You in the name of Jesus Christ to ask Him, say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Lord, as my Savior, as my God. Help me walk through this world, and I will give You all praise and honor in Christ's name. Amen." May God bless you this day. May the Spirit of Christ go with you. Again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.